bring it on. I guess that's what they were saying last night in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, yay, it's Nicole Sandler back with you at Radio or Not, and it's days like this that I am thankful for the microphone, whether it's in this little makeshift studio in my house or it's on a regular old-fashioned radio station, because I gotta say, unbelievable. And let me first start by saying I was wrong. Over the course of the last few days since Sarah Palin was announced as John McCain's running mate, I thought they were giving us a gift on a silver platter. Oh, no. But you see, there's something else I told you. I told you that something was going to happen because the neocons may be liars and thieves and cheaters and evil, right? But they're not stupid. Oh, no. And they don't make fatal blunders like that. They are calculated political beings. And let me say right here, right now, that I was wrong. This was not some spur-of-the-moment, last-minute decision by John McCain. Oh, no, no, no. John McCain had nothing to do with the decision for Sarah Palin to be his running mate. That came from someone much higher up. Because John McCain is a puppet, much like George Bush has been a puppet for the last 8 years of the neocons. John McCain wanted the nomination. All he had to do was sell his soul. All he had to do was turn 180 degrees away from what he truly believes in, or used to believe. John McCain is the Manchurian candidate, and Sarah Palin is Manchurian candidate part two. If you don't know what it is, I say go rent the movie. Rent the original. Ah, rent the remake. It doesn't matter. They have been manufactured to be elected. Sarah Palin and her family are straight out of central casting. You see, I thought she wasn't properly vetted. Oh, forget everything I said. Because from what I saw last night, I believe she was cast in the role of the Republican vice presidential candidate by the neocons. What they did, they cast her and her family. All you have to do is look at them. They are marketable. They are sellable. She is 44 years old, damn good looking, speaks well, and has a beautiful family. Complete with the tug at the heartstrings Down syndrome baby. Yeah, they knew that this 17-year-old daughter was pregnant. Then they took a look at her boyfriend and said, these are good looking kids. Doesn't matter that he's a redneck, violent prick who wrote some really disturbing stuff on his MySpace page. That's okay. They can get by that. Doesn't matter that Sarah Palin is part of the Good Old Boy Network. Doesn't matter that Sarah Palin was right there with Ted Stevens on getting earmarks for that Bridge to Nowhere. Doesn't matter, because the truth doesn't matter to them. They can spin it. They will mold her. They will have her say things in the speech that you're going to hear in a couple of minutes that are so completely untrue. Doesn't matter, because the Republican Party and the neocons don't give a damn about the truth. They tell you bold-faced lies right to your face and do it with a smile and in Sarah Palin's place, I guess, a nice butt, and you believe it. Don't believe it. Know that this woman is dangerous. Know that she is exactly what they wanted. They will make up stories about her positions and her experience and what she did as mayor of Wasilla, Alaska, and governor of the state that are the total opposite of reality. It is your job to read through the bull and see what's true. Now, I promise you, I will post articles, I will post research, I will post the evidence to refute their lies on the blog at radioornot.com. It is your job to read. It is your job to get informed. It is your job to refute their lies. Now, I hope and I pray that Joe Biden brings out that pit bull mentality I know he's got. I hope that Joe Biden will turn into the sarcastic sniper that we know he can be, because that's what Sarah Palin was last night. Oh my God. She looks like this cute, perky hockey mom, but she took off the gloves and she got down and nasty. And that came after Rudy Giuliani, that slimeball piece of crap, sat up there and spewed hatred and lies and warmongering and fear for, 45 minutes or so, which went on about 40 minutes too long. Every inch of his speech was about telling lies and instilling fear in the American people. Did you even notice the picture they put up behind him? Lower Manhattan without the Twin Towers. I'm sorry. Every ounce of me was just fuming last night watching Rudy Giuliani. And I really thought that maybe what I would do on the program today was go through his speech point by point and refute it. The problem is, then I watched Sarah Palin. And she's a lot more dangerous this year, I believe, than Rudy Giuliani. Because Rudy Giuliani, as Joe Biden told us, noun, a verb, and 9/11. Yeah, Sarah Palin doesn't have that history yet. And by all accounts, you look at her and she's, you know, the perfect woman. And she's got this picture-perfect family. Oh, right there, the Republicans' answer to the Obamas. Seriously, she was not brought out to be the Republicans' answer to Joe Biden. Oh, no. She was brought out, and her family, to be the Republicans' hot commodity. They're rock stars. Their answer to the Obamas, complete with the cute little kids. Because, the Obamas have Sasha and Malia. So the Palins have Bristol, Tack, Willow. I'm trying to remember the names off the top of my head. No, it's not Parker. It's, Parker, Peyton, something. Piper. Yeah. And Tag. Dangerous. Watch out. Karl Rove, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh was pushing for this woman all along. You see, it's all about the showbiz. It's all about what's marketable and sellable. They're writing the script for her. In fact, they wrote the script for the speech last night before she was even named as the running mate. And then they said, they had to go back and rework some of it because it was too masculine. But boy, she delivered those slams, those snipes, those sarcastic comments as if it were just second nature to her. Watch out, people. Watch out. Don't be fooled. All right. So I decide I'll put Rudy Giuliani to the side for now. And today I thought we would just listen to Sarah Palin's speech last night together. I'll contribute the running commentary, but feel free to talk back to the radio or the computer, as the case may be, anytime. And here we go. Radio or not.
Thank you.
Why they are clapping for this woman already, I don't know, because at this point, all they know about her is that she's hot.
Delegates and fellow citizens, I will be honored to accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States.
Oh, boy.
I accept the call to help our nominee for president to serve and defend America. And I accept the challenge of a tough fight in this election against confident opponents at a crucial hour for our country. And I accept the privilege of serving with a man who come through harder missions and met far graver challenges and knows how tough fights are won, the next president of the United States, John S. McCain.
What is the deal with the S? John S. McCain? How about we call him John Sidney McCain? All right, John Sidney McCain. John S. McCain. Where the hell did that come from?
It was just a year ago when all the experts in Washington counted out our nominee, because he refused to hedge his commitment to the security of the country he loves. With their usual certitude, they told us that all was lost. There was no hope for this candidate, who said that he would rather lose an election than see his country lose a war. But the pollsters, and the pundits, they overlooked just one thing when they wrote
him pundit,
off.
Sarah, pundit.
They overlooked the caliber of the man himself, the determination and resolve and the sheer guts of Senator John McCain. The voters knew better, and maybe that's because they realize there's a time for politics and a time for leadership, a time to campaign and a time to put our country first. Our nominee for president is a true profile in courage, and people like that are hard to come by. He's a man who wore the uniform of his country for 22 years and refused to break faith with those troops in Iraq who now have brought victory within sight.
There is no such thing as victory in Iraq.
And as the mother of one of those troops, that is exactly the kind of man I want as commander-in-chief. Yeah. Moms who will say an extra prayer each night for our sons and daughters going into harm's way. Our son Track is 19, and 1 week from tomorrow, September 11th, he'll deploy to Iraq with the Army Infantry in the service of his country. My nephew Casey also enlisted and serves on a carrier in the Persian Gulf. My family is so proud of both of them and of all the fine men and women serving the country in uniform.
You do know, right, that saying, announcing a deployment date is illegal. I guess no one told her that. The speechwriters didn't tell her that. And by the way, he's not deploying on September 11th. That's already been debunked. But, you know, the date sounds good, right?
So Track is the eldest of our five children. And our family, it's two boys and three girls in between. My strong and kind-hearted daughters, Bristol and Willow and Piper.
Bristol and Willow and Piper. Actually, I like the names, but, you know. The little one, okay, I guess Piper. She is the Republican's answer to Sasha and Malia. These people are right out of Central Casting.
We were so blessed in April. Todd and I welcomed our littlest one into the world, a perfectly beautiful baby boy named Trig.
And now the camera zooms in on the little Downs baby. I'm telling you, this thing was so orchestrated, it chills me to the bone. Chills me to the bone.
You know, from the inside, no family ever seems typical. And that's how it is with us. Our family has the same ups and downs as any other, the same challenges and the same joys. Sometimes even the greatest joys bring challenge. And children with special needs inspire a very, very special love. To the families of special needs,
I think we are living in a movie. These people can play themselves. They're all gorgeous, right? And, you know, every problem you can have.
To the families of special needs children all across this country, I have a message for you. For years, you've sought to make America a more welcoming place for your sons and daughters. And I pledge to you that if we're elected, you will have a friend and advocate in the White House.
As long as you have the money to pay for the services that your child will need, because Sarah Palin in Alaska cut services for, teenage mothers, and I believe for, special needs kids. Yeah. Her track record is not that good there.
Todd is a story all by himself. He's a lifelong commercial fisherman and a production operator in the oil fields of Alaska's North Slope and a proud member of the United Steelworkers Union. And Todd is a world champion snow machine racer. His Yupik Eskimo ancestry, and it all makes for quite a package. And we met in high school, and 2 decades and 5 children later, he's still my guy.
Aw, isn't that sweet? Yeah, they are the Republicans' answer to the Obamas. A young, dynamic family, except with arcane and arcane social views. Let's put it that way.
My mom and dad both worked at the elementary school in our small town. And among the many things I owe them is a simple lesson that I've learned, that this is America, and every woman can walk through every door of opportunity. And my parents are here tonight. The daughter of Chuck and Sally Heath. Long ago, a young farmer and a haberdasher from Missouri. He followed an unlikely path. He followed an unlikely path to the vice presidency. And a writer observed, "We grow good people in our small towns with honesty and sincerity and dignity." And I know just the kind of people that writer had in mind when he praised Harry Truman. I grew up with those people. They're the ones who do some of the hardest work in America, who grow our food and run our factories and fight our wars. They love their country in good times and bad, and they're always proud of America.
You know, that's her first snide, sarcastic remark that's a dig. This woman is a bitch with a capital B. All right, I'm going to keep track of those snide, sarcastic digs because she is one nasty bitch. Sorry, it's the only word I can describe her with.
I've living most of my life in a small town. I was just your average hockey mom and signed up for the PTA.
Oh, PTA? And that is any better than community organizer? But she's going to get her digs in a community organizer. Like, that's a bad thing.
I love those hockey moms. You know, they say the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? Lipstick.
She's good. Now I get it.
So I signed up for the PTA because I wanted to make my kids' public education even better. And when I ran for city council, I didn't need focus groups and voter profiles. Because I knew those voters, and I knew their families, too. Before I became governor of the great state of Alaska, I was mayor of my hometown. And since our opponents in this presidential election seem to look down on that experience,
excuse me?
Let me explain to them what the job involves.
Nobody's looking down on it. They're just saying it doesn't make you qualified to be vice president, you.
I guess.
Okay, that's 2 digs.
I guess a small town mayor is sort of like a community organizer, except that you have actual responsibilities.
3, 4. Oh, I hope Joe Biden just gives it to her, because there is no more reason to treat this woman with kid gloves. She does not merit it. She's an attack dog, and she's nasty on top of it.
I might add that in small towns, we don't quite know what to make of a candidate who lavishes praise on working people when they're listening, and then talks about how bitterly they cling to their religion and guns when those people aren't listening. We tend to prefer candidates who don't talk about us one way in Scranton and another way in San Francisco. As for my running mate, you can be certain that wherever he goes and whoever is listening, John McCain is the same man.
Well, the same man that he was yesterday, but certainly not in 2000, right? They're two different guys, candidate McCain and new candidate McCain.
I'm not a member of the permanent political establishment.
Oh, that's a new one. The permanent political establishment. Okay. Well, I guess neither is Barack Obama.
I've learned quickly these last few days that if you're not a member in good standing of the Washington elite, then some in the media consider a candidate unqualified for that reason alone.
Who's it, the Washington elite that she's talking about? Okay, we're up to six. Six snide, sarcastic remarks. They're chanting NBC. Oh, God.
Here's a little news flash for those reporters and commentators. I'm not going to Washington to seek their good opinion. I'm going to Washington to serve the people of this great country.
Oh, God, we're in trouble.
To go to Washington for the right reason and not just to mingle with the right people. Politics isn't just a game of clashing parties and competing interests. The right reason is to challenge the status quo, to serve the common good, and to leave this nation better than we found it.
So what's happened over the last 8 years? Maybe she can explain that to me. Because certainly they are not leading this nation better than they found it.
No one expects us all to agree on everything, but we are expected to govern with integrity and goodwill and clear convictions and a servant's heart. And I pledge to all Americans that I will carry myself in this spirit as Vice President of the United States.
In the spirit of nastiness, sarcasm, mean, sniping comments? Is that the spirit that she's talking about? I don't know. Kind of creepy to me.
This was the spirit that brought me to the governor's office when I took on the old politics as usual in Juneau.
Excuse me?
When I stood up to the special interests and
she
the
did
lobbyists and the big oil companies and the good old boys.
Oh, yeah? She played ball with the good old boys.
I realize that sudden and relentless reform never sits well with entrenched interests and power brokers. That's why true reform is so hard to achieve. But with the support of the citizens of Alaska, we shook things up. And in short order, we put the government of our state back on the side of the people.
Really? Oh, that's not the way I understand it, Sarah. That's not the way I understand it at all. I think the story has been created for you. The script has been written.
I came to office promising major ethics reform to end the culture of self-dealing. And today, that ethics reform is the law.
That's what, I have to stop here. I just have to. Because ethics reform, that's why she tried to fire the Wasilla librarian because the librarian wouldn't take books out of the library that Ms. Palin deemed offensive. Yeah, she is under investigation. You've heard of Troopergate. She's under investigation and has had to hire an attorney right now because of charges of abuse of power in her efforts to get a state trooper fired who happened to be her ex-brother-in-law. And when the state's public service commissioner wouldn't fire this trooper, she fired him, the public service commissioner. Yeah. She is right entrenched with that old boys network. She is politics as usual in Alaska, but they have fabricated this story around her that will be proven so utterly false in the next few days. The thing is, for central casting, they're perfect. In the movie, This family could play themselves. They've got the pregnant 17-year-old daughter. They even got the baby with Down syndrome, right? They have the little cute little girl. She's the answer to the Obama girls. And but ew, in a kind of like sort of, you know, trailer trashy moment, the camera happened to catch Miss Piper, the little, she's got to be six maybe, year old, holding the baby with, and she licked her hand to smooth down the baby's hair. You know, just kind of creepy. All right, back to Sarah.
I got rid of a few things in the governor's office that I didn't believe our citizens should have to pay for. That luxury jet
Good.
Was over the top.
I agree. Okay. Point being?
I put it on eBay.
Ah, because, you know, Meg Whitman spoke earlier, the founder of eBay. Because this night, before the attack started, was all about corporate America.
I love to drive myself to work, and I thought we could muddle through without the governor's personal chef.
Good.
Although I got to admit that sometimes my kids sure miss her.
Oh, so I guess they used her for a while there, huh?
I came to office promising to control spending by request if possible, but by veto if necessary. Senator McCain also, he promises to use the power of veto in defense of the public interest.
Yeah, she used the line item veto to do away with funding for a facility for pregnant teens. Nice, right? Nice.
Budget is under control. We have a surplus.
Yeah.
And I have protected the taxpayers by vetoing wasteful spending.
Oh, like that.
Nearly half $1 billion in vetoes.
Pregnant teens. And, you know, as mayor of the town of Wasilla, which when she took office, a town of 5,000 people, had a surplus, when she left it, $20 million in debt.
And championed reform to end the abuses of earmarked spending by Congress. I told the Congress, thanks, but no thanks, on that bridge to nowhere.
No, she didn't. No, she did not. She was right there with Ted Stevens.
If our state wanted to build a bridge, we were going to build it ourselves.
Not true.
When oil and gas prices went up dramatically and filled up the state treasury, I sent a large share of that revenue back where it belonged, directly to the people of Alaska.
And then took out major loans to build infrastructure.
Despite fierce opposition from oil company lobbyists who kind of like things the way that they were, we broke their monopoly on power and resources. As governor, I insisted on competition and basic fairness to end their control of our state and return it to the people.
Yeah, not quite, Sarah. They've come up with this script for her that is total the opposite of what she's done.
To bring about the largest private sector infrastructure project in North American history. And when
private
that
sector.
Deal was struck, we began a nearly $40 billion natural gas pipeline to help lead America to energy independence.
And instead of using the money from the surplus they got because of the high prices and of gas, she gave that little refunds to people and took out loans to pay for this stuff.
When the last section is laid and its valves are open, we'll lead America one step farther away from dependence on dangerous foreign powers that do not have our interests at heart. The stakes for our nation could not be higher. When a hurricane strikes in the Gulf of Mexico, this country should not be so dependent on imported oil that we're forced to draw from our strategic petroleum reserve. And families cannot throw more and more of their paychecks on gas and heating oil.
You're right.
With Russia wanting to control a vital pipeline in the Caucasus and to divide and intimidate our European allies by using energy as a weapon, we cannot leave ourselves at the mercy of foreign suppliers.
Yeah, we need to get off of foreign oil. Got you there, lady. We need to get off of oil. But she doesn't go there.
To confront the threat that Iran might seek to cut off nearly a fifth of the world's energy supplies, or that terrorists might strike again at the Abqaiq facility in Saudi Arabia, or that Venezuela might shut off its oil discoveries and its deliveries of that source, Americans, we need to produce more of our own oil and gas. And
we need to cut down our usage of oil and gas.
Who knows the North Slope of Alaska? We've got lots of both.
Okay, yes. And there's oil there all ready for the taking. But in Prudhoe Bay, they capped off the wells. It's already been drilled. It's there, giant pools of it. And they capped it off. They just want to drill in protected areas. Why is that?
Our opponents say again and again that drilling will not solve all of America's energy problems, as if we didn't know that already.
Well, they don't act like they know it already. Sarcastic, snide bitch.
The fact that drilling, though, won't solve every problem is no excuse to do nothing at all.
We're already drilling. They're not saying don't drill. They're saying drill on the land they already have leases on. Drill where they already have permits. Drill there.
In January, in a McCain-Palin administration, we're going to lay more pipelines and build more nuclear plants and create jobs with clean coal.
Sure,
and
clean
move
coal.
Forward on solar, wind,
there. Those are the
geothermal, and other alternative sources.
Yeah, after you build nukes and more drilling on protected lands and waters. Oh, and by the way, yeah, well, we'll do some of that wind and solar stuff too. Sure, yeah, well, yeah, you know.
Sources of resources. We need American energy brought to you by American ingenuity and produced by American workers.
So then you can then sell it overseas? How about any oil that's drilled here stays here? Can we do that?
And now I've noticed a pattern with our opponent.
She didn't go there.
And maybe you have too. We've all heard his dramatic speeches before devoted followers. And there is much to like and admire about our opponent. But listening to him speak, it's easy to forget that this is a man who has authored two memoirs, but not a single major law or even a reform, not even in the state.
Really? Really? Oh, you know, Sarah Palin, don't play with the truth here because you're going to get caught. Ethics reform, helping our veterans at Walter Reed. Oh, there's so much Barack Obama has done, you inexperienced twit.
This is a man who can give an entire speech about the wars America is fighting and never use the word victory except when he's talking about his own campaign.
Because victory is not possible in a war today. How about trying to get a truce? How about diplomacy? That's something they don't use in their warmongering.
When the cloud of rhetoric has passed, when the roar of the crowd fades away, when the stadium lights go out, and those styrofoam Greek columns are hauled back to some studio lot.
Oh, she's just a nasty bitch. They don't have a set? Come on, it's all political theater. They dress the set, and that's worthy of criticism? She's nasty.
When that happens,
and not in a good
what
way.
Exactly is our opponent's plan? What does he actually seek to accomplish after he's done turning back the waters and healing the planet?
I want to smack her. I, you know,
the answer
oh my
is to
God.
Make government bigger and
no.
take more of your money. And give you more orders from Washington.
Like the Bush administration has been doing?
And to reduce the strength of America in a dangerous world.
This coming from Miss Foreign Policy
America
Expert.
America needs
huh?
more energy.
Yeah.
Our opponent is against producing it.
Excuse me?
Victory in Iraq is finally
impossible.
In sight. And he wants to forfeit.
Forfeit?
Terrorist states
oh my God.
Are seeking nuclear weapons without delay. He wants to meet them without preconditions. Al-Qaeda terrorists still plot to inflict catastrophic harm on America. And he's worried that someone won't read them their rights.
You know, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh, I'm so angry. This woman is infuriating. She is a grade A nasty bitch. And I hope Joe Biden gives it to her with everything he's got. She doesn't have a clue.
Government is too big. He wants to grow it. Congress spends too much money. He promises more. Taxes are too high, and he wants to raise them.
Yeah, on the top 1%.
His tax increases are the fine print in his economic plan. And let me be specific.
Okay.
The Democratic nominee for president supports plans to raise income taxes
on the
and
top
raise payroll taxes
earners, yeah,
and
on,
raise investment income
on people
taxes,
making over $250,000 a year.
And raise the death tax and raise business taxes and increase the tax burden on the American people by hundreds of billions of dollars.
Not true. Not true.
My sister Heather and her husband, they just built a service station that's now open for business, like millions of others who run small businesses. How are they going to be better off if taxes go up?
Taxes aren't going up.
Or maybe you are trying to keep your job at a plant in Michigan or in Ohio. Or you're trying...
Can we talk about the job losses under George
Bush? You're trying to create jobs from clean coal, from Pennsylvania or West Virginia. We're trying to keep a small farm in the family right here in Minnesota.
SNL is going to have a blast with this woman.
How are you going to be better off if our opponent adds a massive tax burden to the American economy?
He wouldn't.
Here's how I look at the choice Americans face in this election. In politics, there are some candidates who use change to promote their careers. And then there are those like John McCain, who use their careers to promote change.
Really? Oh, that was a good line from the speechwriter, Sarah. But how has John McCain changed? He is more of George Bush's failed policies and what has brought this country down over the last 8 years. Oh, God. I hate this.
They are the ones whose names appear on laws and landmark reforms, not just on buttons and banners or on self-designed presidential seals.
Okay, that's 10.
Among politicians, there is the idealism of high-flown speechmaking in which crowds are stirringly summoned to support great things. And then there is the idealism of
stirringly
those leaders
summoned,
like
huh?
John McCain, who actually do great things.
Really? What has he done? He has written legislation that now he opposes. Got that?
They're the ones who are good for more than talk, the ones that we've always been able to count on to serve and to defend America. Senator McCain's record of actual achievement and reform helps explain why so many special interests and lobbyists and
are on his payroll.
Committee chairmen in Congress have fought the prospect of a McCain presidency from the primary election of 2000 to this very day. Our nominee doesn't run with the Washington herd. He's a man who's there to serve his country and not just his party. A leader who's not looking for a fight, but sure isn't afraid of one either. Harry Reid, the majority of the current do-nothing Senate.
The majority of the current do-nothing Senate, all right.
He not long ago
I think she meant majority leader.
About our nominee. He said, quote, "I can't stand John McCain." Ladies
and one good
gentlemen,
thing,
perhaps
Harry Reid
no
said.
Accolade we hear this week is better proof that we've chosen the right man.
11. Oh, she's mean. She's just mean-spirited and rude and condescending and, dare I say, comes off with this air of elitism, doesn't she? Gloves are off, lady.
What the majority leader was driving at is that he can't stand up to John McCain. And that that's only one more reason to take the maverick out
the
of
what?
The Senate, put him in the White House.
How about take him out of the Senate and put him in the retirement home? I'm just lowering myself to her level.
The American presidency is not supposed to be a journey of personal discovery.
13. Is the vice presidency? It just mean. It's slogans and snipes.
This world of threats and dangers, it's not just a community, and it doesn't just need an organizer.
Oh, my God.
And
14.
Though
Both Senator Obama and Senator Biden have been going on lately about how they're always, quote, fighting for you. Let us face the matter squarely. There is only one man in this election who has ever really fought for you.
Is that supposed to be a dig at him? John McCain fought in the military. Oh, man, so he's a better president. Excuse me? Now give me a break. Because we are the party of the warmongers. We are all about fighting. Yeah!
There is only one man in this election who has ever really fought for you in places where winning means survival and defeat means death. And that man is John McCain. You know, in our day, politicians have readily shared much lesser tales of adversity than the nightmare world in which this man and others equally brave served and suffered for
POW
their country.
Card. Yeah.
And it's
a long way
from the fear and pain and squalor of a 6x4 cell in Hanoi to
the
Oval
violence?
Office.
Enough already. He wasn't born in the cell and bring himself up through the ranks.
If Senator McCain is elected president, that is the journey he will have made. It's the journey of an upright and honorable man. The kind of fellow whose name you will find on war memorials in small towns across this great country. Only he was among those who came home. To the most powerful office on earth, he would bring the compassion that comes from having once been powerless. But if Senator McCain is elected president, that is the journey he will have made. It's the journey of an upright and honorable man, the kind of fellow whose name you will find on war memorials in small towns across this great country. Only he was among those who came home. To the most powerful office on earth, he would bring the compassion that comes from having once been powerless, the wisdom that comes even to the captives by the grace of God, the special confidence of those who have seen evil and have seen how evil is overcome.
We've seen evil. It hasn't been overcome yet, but we've seen evil for the last 8 years.
A fellow prisoner of war, a man named Tom Moe of Lancaster, Ohio. Tom Moe recalls looking through a pinhole in his cell door as Lieutenant Commander John McCain was led down the hallway by the guards day after day. And the story is told when McCain shuffled back from torturous interrogations, he would turn toward Moe's door and he'd flash a grin and a thumbs up as if to say, "We're going to pull through this." My fellow Americans, that is the kind of man America needs to see us through the next 4 years.
Because he was a POW? Is that really? That's the kind of man, huh? The one who, if you go to Vietnam Veterans Against John McCain, will tell you all kinds of tales about how John behaved as a POW.
A gifted speaker can inspire with his words. But for a lifetime, John McCain has inspired with his deeds.
Really? I've heard about his temper.
If character is the measure in this election,
yeah,
and hope the theme, and change the goal we share,
then we vote for Obama.
Then I ask you to join our cause. Join our cause and help America elect a great man as the next president
Barack
of the United
Obama.
States.
Please.
Thank you, and God bless America.
Yeah. Nobody, no, don't bless any place else on earth, just America. I got to tell you, I am scared. I am scared. As I started this program saying today, I have done a complete 180 on my opinion of Sarah Palin. And if you remember, when she was announced as the running mate, I very confidently stated that I thought that John McCain made a very rash, uninformed decision, that he reacted to Barack Obama's speech on Thursday night and it made this middle of the night change in direction and grasped at just something different in Sarah Palin. After watching her last night, I had a revelation. Sarah Palin was adequately vetted. They knew every little nook and cranny. Sarah Palin has been the vice presidential choice, and they've known this for some time. John McCain did not make this decision. The decision was made by the people who actually run the neocons, run the Republican Party. This decision was made by Karl Rove and Rush Limbaugh and the other behind-the-scenes power brokers who have their big global plan in place for the future of this country. Yeah, the neocons will continue, and Sarah Palin was a very, very calculated move. This was right out of Central Casting. She's hot. She is, as there's already a website, and not speaking for me, but speaking for the men out there, the VPILF. If you don't know what that means, there's a term, the MILF, for moms I'd like to blank. Okay, there's already that website, VPILF.com. Yeah, so she's hot. She's got the beautiful family. She is the neocons' answer to the Obamas. The Palin family is the family they can put up there. Gorgeous children. Oh, and they've even got the Down syndrome baby to boot. They have the pregnant teenager. And yeah, they trotted out the boyfriend because he looks good too. Even though, I mean, if you look at my blog from yesterday at radioornot.com, you will see his some lovely tidbits taken off his MySpace page. But that's okay. Doesn't matter that he's a, you know, a bigot and a redneck and a violent guy. He sure looks good. He's cute. And Bristol, yeah, they can hide the baby bump. She's cute. And little, then there's Willow. And of course, Piper, the little girl who's probably 5 or 6 years old. Oh, the perfect antidote to little Sasha Obama. Yeah. And there she is holding her little brother who has Down syndrome and grossly licking her hand and smoothing down his hair. Kind of cute in a gross sort of way. This is right out of Central Casting. These people could play themselves in the movie. They were selected by the neocon powers that be because of how they look and how they will play to the American public. Now, you know, Sarah Palin and her people are saying, you know, don't use my children as a tool. My kids are off limit. Then she trots them out to the press. She sends out a press release saying that her 17-year-old daughter is pregnant. And then they set up a stage photo op on the tarmac when John McCain came to meet the family. Really, for the first time. He only met Sarah Palin once. He was told she is his running mate. He wanted Joe Lieberman or Tom Ridge. But the neocons said, no, 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 you can't go there. This is who you're going to choose. Because she looks good and she is malleable. We can turn her into whatever we want her to be. Yeah, we've got the script for them. And it's okay. I mean, we'll take the pregnancy, and we'll turn it around and make it a positive because they sure look good. Oh, yeah, they're marketable in this advertising age. And we can make her, she's snide and sarcastic and mean-spirited. Hey, she, you know, abuse of power, that's okay. That's the status quo. It is more of the same. We can make her say whatever we want her to say because she's a political tool. You see, she supported Ted Stevens and his Bridge to Nowhere. She built a 527 to support this criminal in his misdeeds. She has lobbied Washington for earmarks for her state, and then she'll turn around and tell you in the speech last night that she is against business as usual. She tells you the opposite of what she's done. So stay tuned, because every one of her lies will be debunked. And while she puts down Barack Obama for his experience as a community organizer, and that was a line we heard all night long last night, she starts off saying how she started out in the PTA. Not saying that that's bad, but how dare she? How dare this little redneck hick from Wasilla, Alaska, who entered the office of mayor with a surplus in the city's budget, and at the end of her term serving as mayor, she had a $20 million deficit in a town of 5,000 people. All right, don't get taken in by the theatrics, by the casting, by the lies, okay? The truth will set you free. We have only just begun to fight. They, you know what? They took off the gloves last night. Joe Biden, bring it on. Bring it on, baby. Bring out your best attacks, snide, sarcastic remarks, because this woman has shown that's all she's about. That's all she's got. Oh, that and, you know, the good looks. But, you know, I'll take the Obama family. Thank you very much. I was scared last night. You know what? But I slept and I looked at it, and hopefully the American people are smart enough to see what this is all about. But make no mistake, they knew exactly what they were doing. And it's not John McCain who's calling the shots here. Keep it in mind. All right. Thanks for listening. Radio or not, Nicole Sandler here will do it again tomorrow.